The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 5, Scene 10. It's just going to be a duo tonight, myself, Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
And we've got one play to review, and then we do have a surprise interview coming up after that. But first, we're going to talk about The Glass Menagerie, the Tennessee Williams classic about a domineering Southern mother, her restless poet son, and the daughter who has a mild affliction, we'll just call it. So, Claire, why don't you start on this? Because I think you liked it better than I did.
I was pleased with this production. For me, it brought something that I've been experiencing in my head to life really beautifully, And I enjoyed it for that. I do think that on opening night, there were some sort of...
It didn't gel yet.
There were some lagging moments. I would say it didn't gel yet. I had the sense that the actors just hadn't all moved past that stage where they're still thinking about their lines and still thinking about the language.
Right. The play, as a stage in the opening monologue, is that it's dimly lit, sentimental, and it's a memory play.
Mm-hmm.
And the way director Maury Pearsall staged it, it just didn't capture that sentimental mystique to me. And I think, like we've both said, it may be just it wasn't ready. I thought the cast was very good. Leanne Marie Holmes, who played Amanda, I thought she did a wonderful job. The thing I liked about her, she added a spunkiness to the role. Usually you see that character as more kind of a monster.
Like commanding, right?
Yes, yes. And she had a spunkiness that I thought made it a little more palatable.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the same way with Matt Block, to some extent, who plays the son, Tom. He added some humor to his observation, so he wasn't quite as bleak as I've seen it played before, which was nice.
I thought both of them did a great job. But for me, actually, I think Louise Keaton as Laura Wingfield and Cooper Svedt as Jim O'Connor were my two favorites, even though I loved all of the performances, especially that second act scene between the two of them, where they're sitting on the floor and sort of reminiscing about high school. It was the most lived-in scene, I think, of the whole production.
I can agree with that. Now, Louise, I thought that scene was the strongest scene for her. I felt like a lot of the show, she just kind of sat there looking miserable. And obviously the character's supposed to be, but I never felt there was anything but just kind of this hangdog misery on her face, and she just looked like she was suffering a lot. I also had a little bit of a problem in the fact that Amanda and Tom are very obviously Southern. They talk Southern, and she didn't have a Southern accent, which kind of took me out of it a little bit, too.
Actually, I didn't think about that until you just said it, but there was inconsistency with accents. Cooper also didn't have a Southern accent.
Right.
To your point about her hangdog face, I kind of read Louise's performance of that character as just like sheer anxiety.
All the time.
Louise broke my heart in this role.
Okay.
I also want to talk a little bit about the set, Tennessee Dixon.
I was going to say the technical elements were not strong on this show.
I actually really loved Tennessee Dixon's set for this.
Really?
And it really was, for me, the source of the sort of dreaminess and the memory aspect of the play.
I can see that. I just felt like the set felt a little shoddy every time they closed the doors and they rattled a little bit. And the projections, which of course are in the original script, which I've never seen a production do before.
Yeah.
They really drove me crazy, especially in the second act. They were almost like they were comic punchlines sometimes.
Jerry, no.
Yes.
No, it's because it's Tom's memory, and what is he always doing? Going to the movies, right?
Right.
So they're imitating that, you know, the silent film aspect. I thought it was brilliant.
Brought me out of the play. And I heard people around me sometimes giggling when some of those, like, terror and things came up, like, oh, that's kind of funny, and maybe it's okay. I also want to mention that Jonathan Beard composed an original score for it, and I felt like it was, you barely ever heard it. And music is obviously a very strong part of the show, and I felt like it was undermixed. I felt the lights, had very slow fades, and unfortunately the lights down at Theater Lab are not very expensive LEDs, and so when they do slow fades, they step through the steps. And it takes you out of it again because they're not slowly fading. I still thought it was a good production. It was affecting. It wasn't as poetic and moving as it could have been. And like we both agreed, it may be better now.
I think it was quite a poetic production, although I do agree with certain elements. I noticed the lights going down.
Right.
I did. Right. I cared less about it than you do.
I think we'll just have to think that in your head, you really liked the production. In my head, I appreciated the production.
That sounds perfect.
We've been talking about The Glass Menagerie, which is a Fifth Wall production playing at the Theater Lab through February 15th. And now we're going to take a little trip down to Swift Creek Mill Theater, where Daddy Longlegs has just started running and will be there until February 22nd. And I have the pleasure of having with me today Steve Perigard, the acclaimed local director, and Rachel Mars, the fast up-and-coming actor in town.
Oh.
And they're going to talk about the show a little bit. So first, welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
So first of all I know is that Fred Astaire did the movie Daddy Long Legs, and this is a musical based on some letters and based on a novel. Fill me in, guys.
There might be a little misconception that this is based on that movie.
Right. Well, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, which is a dance musical. This is based on the book, which is written by Paul Gordon and John Caird, and it really does follow that novel and all the great things about that novel that the movie kind of left out, I think, or changed.
Let me just mention real quickly, this is a two-person show with you and Matt Paulson.
That's right. So it's just Matt and I. We don't really do any dancing at all. It's completely sung through. There is dialogue. There's a lot of action, but mostly sung through, and all the music is gorgeous.
What's the biggest challenge for you in a show like this?
When you're doing a two-person musical, the challenge is it's either Matt or it's me.
That's true. If somebody messes up, there's only one person on stage.
That's true, and we're not interacting the whole time, so there's not a lot we can do to really help each other. So it's sort of like doing a one-person show, except for the few scenes that we actually have together. I think the hardest thing is if you need a sip of water, there's not much you can do about it.
Steve, what brought you to directing this show?
Well, Tom, Wythe offered me the opportunity to direct there, which I've never had, which was great. And looking at the shows, this was the one that, for the season, fit into my schedule, but also the one that really drew me. The book is written in letter form. It's epistolary. It is one letter after another. And how they've adapted that to the stage is really interesting. And the challenges that come with that, keeping that active and staging all of that, brought me to it. Then when these two came on, the idea of working with Matt and Rachel made it even better.
How is it different or better or unusual?
At the end of the day, it's a really sweet love story. It's a story about a girl coming into her own life and just sort of propels her life forward while also having the sweetness and naivete of having new experiences.
Yeah, I think it's a great story, and it follows Jerusha, the character that Rachel plays, from 1908 to 1912 as she develops as a person, as a woman, as an artist, as a feminist, and I think there are some really interesting things putting it in context of the time that we can really take away and are important to hear today.
It does open this weekend, and it will be playing through February 22nd. We're talking about Daddy Long Legs down at Swift Creek Mill Theater. We want to thank director Steve Perrigard and one of the actors, Rachel Mars. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that's it for this week's Curtain Call. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a review of this and more.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org